would have me preach tonight last Friday, and then Pastor started preaching on unity on Sunday. I was like, oh, I guess that was just for me. But the Lord still has me going to Philippians chapter 2, because Pastor talked about the need for unity, the need for unity. And tonight we're going to go ahead and take a look at, okay, how? How do we get it? What do we do? And so we'll spend some time looking in mostly two passages, Philippians 2 and Ephesians 4, and just spending some time. We're not going to spend very much time. It's honestly, it's very simple, really, if you look at it. It might not be always easy to do, but it's simple. It's simple. And the reason it's not very easy is because it's of our big self. We love ourselves. And that's usually what gets in the way of unity. So let's pray, and then we'll look to Philippians chapter 2. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for your word. And Lord, I just thank you so much for how it is so simple. Lord, we just need to apply it to our lives. We just need to follow it. We need to follow you. Lord, I pray that would be our prayer, our desire, Lord, to just live for you and live the way that you want us to do. And Lord, we do pray for unity in our church. Lord, I pray that we would understand what that means and what you desire of us so that we can have that. And Lord, I just pray that you'd bless this time tonight. Lord, would it be your words and not mine. In Jesus' name, amen. In Philippians chapter 2, actually we're going to start a few verses earlier in Philippians chapter 1. We see here Paul desiring something of the church here at Philippi. He wrote this to all the saints which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons. He talks about kind of through 23 and 24 how he desired to depart. He wrote this from prison. He wasn't there with them. He said, I'd much rather be with the Lord, but I know that you need me still. But he says that he desired one thing of them, and that's in verse 27. He says, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And then on in the next chapter, Philippians chapter 2, he continues to state this desire. He says, if there be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. As I said, Pastor already talked about the need for unity, but we see here in a church at Philippi that this man of God desired that this church be unified, that they be of one accord, that they be of one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, being of one accord, of one mind. And we see this over and over again in the scripture, this desire both of God and of the men leading churches or the spiritual leaders of the day, that let's be of one mind. Let's be unified. In 1 Corinthians 1:10, you don't need to turn there, but it says, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. I feel like that's a verse that could be said to us as a church today. I beseech you that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. So how do we get there? How do we have that? Well, in Philippians chapter 2, when he's talking about this, the first thing he says, that ye be like-minded, having the same love. The same love. You see, I believe it really starts with love. Love for each other. There has to be a desire to be unified. There has to be a desire to, let's all work together for the same purpose, for the same goal. There has to be a love there for the brethren, for God, for the things that God loves. There has to be a love. If you turn over to Ephesians chapter 5, Ephesians chapter 5, if it's not something that we desire, if we don't love the church, if we don't love the people of the church, we don't love the things that God loves, there's going to be no work put into being unified. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 2, starting in verse 1, says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." Walk in love. You see, when people look at us, whether it be out in the world or especially here in the church, we should be known that we're walking in love, that we're a loving person, that we love people. I mean, our whole goal as a church is to reach people, and we've talked many times that we're not going to reach people if we're not loving them. Well, the same goes to unity. We're not going to be unified if we're not loving those around us, as God, as Christ, hath loved us. 1 Peter 3:8 says, "Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another." What does he say next? He says, "Love as brethren." Be pitiful. Be courteous. Do we love each other as brethren? Do we? Could you say of anybody in the church that I love you and mean it? Could we? Turn over, you're probably still in Ephesians 5, turn back a page to Ephesians 4. We see more about this love. Ephesians 4, verse 1, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love." Love is patient, right? Are we patient with each other? Love is kind. Are we kind to each other? Are we forbearing one another in love? What is what he leads right on to there in verse 3, "endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." So again, this idea of love is mixed in with this idea of unity, because I believe it's inseparable. It takes work, endeavoring, forbearing, to be patient with. Do your best. Put in the effort. You know, sometimes it takes work and effort to love someone. It takes patience. Not everybody is easy to love. But there's no qualifications for who we're supposed to love except love each other. We can't say that I'm going to love who I want to, or I'm going to kind of be over here with these people and these are the people that I really love. No, we're supposed to love the church as Christ loved the church. I think of Jesus' example. He was long-suffering and forbearing with me. He was long-suffering and forbearing with Paul. So many people throughout the ages that God has given time after time to even be saved. Or but what about after we're saved? Time after time, we fail him, and yet he still accepts us and loves us, takes care of us, blesses us in spite of who we are. That's how we're supposed to love. How can we not love our fellow church members? I think, let's turn over to 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13. Brother Ian preached from here back on New Year's. Let's take a look at it again. 4. "Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things." And I wonder if we take a look at just that little part there, that little sections, of a definition of what God considers love. And we think about each thing. You know, seeketh not her own, thinketh no evil, envieth not, vaunteth not. When we read that, are there people that pop up in our mind that say, "Oh, I kind of do that to that person"? Maybe the idea of thinking no evil, we start to question motives. We start to question why they do this or why they do that. I know I've done that in my marriage, especially early on. We would start to think that maybe they thought this way or were doing this thing for some reason. And it comes out to be that, no, they never thought that way. But here I had a kind of a chip on my shoulder because I was thinking something wrong about them. Thinketh no evil. Seeketh not her own. You know, we see that again in Colossians 2, in Philippians 2, go back there. In Philippians 2, our text, in verse 4, he says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. You see, true love is putting others first. Do we have time for others? Do we love others? That's where true unity starts. Love. And if you don't love someone, what are you going to have to do? You're going to have to put in the work. Spend time with them. Get to know them. Pray with them. Find out. Hey, how's your day going? Can we meet together and read our Bible together, talk about, have a little Bible study together, pray together, whatever the case may be, that's how you're going to grow to truly love someone. Because if there's nothing in common between us, we have the Lord. So let's spend time in the Lord together. Going on from there, he talks about this idea of having one mind. We're supposed to have the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. He says the same in earlier on in verse 120, in chapter 1, verse 27. He says, with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel. What is this? This one mind, having one mind. Well, we see, first of all, that in verse 3, it's not of our mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let us each esteem other better than themselves. That word strife, it means a selfish ambition, or it implies rivalry. Vainglory, it's pride without a proper basis. It's vain conceit. That's what our mind is full of. So it can't be that. It's not everybody get on my page. It can't be that. It says it's not of selfish ambition. It's something else. Romans 12:16 says, be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to man of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. So the first step as far as this having one mind goes is that I need to humble myself. Stop pushing for my way. So whose mind are we supposed to have? Well, we see it's the mind of Christ. Continuing on there in verse 5, it says of Philippians 2, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So we're seeing that humility, that setting aside of self. Verse 9, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. How could we ever try to have our mind when we're bowing before the King of glory? How could we try to have my way, push for my way, push for my thoughts? But you see, because it's the mind of Christ, he gives us an example. He says, verse 13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. I think of his example of, not my will, but thine be done. That's the mind we're supposed to have. Not my will, but thine be done. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 13, it says, till we all come in the unity of the faith into the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceit, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So we have this head, which is Christ. And he goes on, right on into verse 16. From whom, speaking of Christ, the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. You see, we are the body of Christ as a church. And here it says, from whom? Christ, being the head. We're supposed to have the mind of Christ, right? He's the head. We have his mind in things. From whom the whole body fitly joined together. We're all connected to that head. We're all connected to Christ. Why? Well, Romans 15, 5 through 6, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That should be our desire. Why can we with one mouth, with one mind glorify God? Because we're all connected to the same head, which is Christ. See, it's simple. Really. And this is the reason we were going to go here to this section, was because this is the next step. The last 2 weeks, seeking God's face. The next week, we talked about seeking God's knowledge, wisdom, understanding. Why do we need to do that? So we can be of the same mind. So we can be of the same mind. So we can, with one mouth and one mind, glorify God. You know, there's been times of peace over the last six or so months. But there's been plenty of times where there hasn't been peace. Maybe there's been more strife or vainglory. And the times that we've truly had peace have been the times where I believe we as a church have been fully seeking God. Haven't those been wonderful times? Where we've seen God bless. I have a challenge, and I'll stick to Scripture here. But can we hit a reset button? Can we decide that going forward, I'm going to seek Christ. I'm going to love each other. Why? So we can have unity. You know, something I've been guilty of is trying to find the right way to do it. The right way. And what I've come to understand is that that's not my job. Pastor said something on Sunday. Can we trust that God will lead him in the right way to do it? I'm going to pray and ask God, Lord, just to lead him. I think if you're completely honest, there's no one way plainly stated in the Bible for a new pastor to be chosen. Yes, there are basic principles that can and should be followed. Let's trust that the Lord will lead him in the way. So what's my responsibility? Get the mind of Christ. Love each other. What can we do? We can ask God to lead us from his word. Just like we talked about the last 2 weeks. I had someone ask me, well, how can we know that the answer is from God? Well, meditating on his word, praying and asking, God will show you from his word an answer. 100%. There's no doubt. Because he said he would. You know, so often we pray and ask God for a direction, and then we just walk away. We don't get into God's word and pray and meditate and ask God, show me a principle, give me a reason that I have this answer or that reason. It's like going through the drive-thru, you make your order and then just leave. You never pick it up. That's what we do with prayer so often. We pray and then never seek God's answer. Can we seek together an answer from God? Who does God want? So what would that look like? It would look like going into the qualifications of a preacher. And Lord, lay someone on my heart. Now you might say, well, we don't know how we're going to do it. It doesn't matter. Turn over, if you're probably still in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. We already read this section. But endeavoring to, let's just start at verse 2. With all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, there is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. He's talking here with the idea of unity. We have the same God. We are one church. Our God will lead us all the same way. There's no question of that. If we are truly seeking God, He's going to lead us the same way. So it doesn't matter which method is coming up for us to choose a pastor, because if we're all seeking God, the same God, seeking His face, we'll come up with the same answer. Being unified. Turn over to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, starting in verse 1. For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and into all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You see there again, be knit together in love and seek God who has all the knowledge. You see, God already has someone in mind. He does. So if we go to Him and ask Him, no matter how God leads the pastor for us to choose that pastor, we'll already be ready. Because we'll be knit together in love and know from God that that's the one. So I left some time here at the end of the service for us to pray. Let's put it into practice. Let's have a prayer time. You know, right now with Pastor gone and we're not having the prayer times on Tuesdays, doesn't mean we can't have prayer meetings during the week. Have somebody over. Pray together. Spend some time. But tonight, I want us to pray a little bit differently. I want us